Standing up for Jesus should be the prerogative of every member of the body of Christ, a great old song which we have just completed. This is Independence Weekend, the 4th of July. I hope that everyone has a pleasant weekend and also a safe one for this time of the year. Today we're here on the Lord's Day to worship God in honor of His resurrected Son, and I trust in spirit and in truth, as He said in John the 4th chapter. If you have your Bibles open and want to open them up to our text, we're in John 10, and I've been studying with you a series of lessons in the book of John. This is a part of the parabolic teaching of Jesus, and in John 10, He gives us not one parable, He gives us three. But they're all connected around sheep and shepherd and sheepfolds. If there's anything that the Jews were familiar with in the times of Jesus, it was raising sheep. They knew all about sheep. They knew how to separate sheep from goats. And so Jesus gave a lot of teaching about sheep. And here he gives three parables. Someone has said that a parable is a prolonged metaphor. Some say it's an allegory. Some say, well, it's a physical story with a spiritual meaning. And I think they're all right. Jesus would select some common thing that the people familiar with and give a lesson about it. Someone said, but why did he speak in parables? Well, he said, because unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but unto them it is not. And the antecedent of the pronoun them would be the ungodly, dishonest Pharisees. Some people are just dishonest, and the Pharisees were. Though he said, that's why I speak in parables. Now, in some of them, Jesus interpreted his parables, but he didn't do it in all of them. Now, the sower and the seed, he tells us what everything is represented. But he doesn't do that necessarily in this parable, but a wonderful lesson here. And I'm going to study these one at a time, and I'm going to talk about them. We notice here in the text, it says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber. Strong language indeed. He that entereth by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. And says to him, the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And then he says, and when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger they will not follow, but will flee from him, for they know the voice of strangers. Very provocative. Oh, so many. Listen, I want you to notice one thing about these three parables, and that you don't want to forget it, is the word sheep is not used in the sense of people who are Christians, but people who have a good attitude prior to becoming a Christian. You know, that is so important, that if you don't have the right attitude before you become a Christian, you'll never become a Christian. And he deals with that in this context. It is true that the word sheep sometime refers to Christian people. In Matthew 25 it does. But in these texts it doesn't. What he's talking about is people who have a good attitude and people who will accept the word of God when they hear it. He said some will and some won't. And that is so important. That's why you don't convert too many people around Boonville, Mississippi, or anywhere else. It's a lot of it is because of an attitude. And that's the key to understanding this parable. And the other two, by the way. Jesus, first of all, as you notice, says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way as a thief and a robber. You know, in this parable, we've got to figure out who the shepherd is. And of course, we know that's Jesus. We've got to figure out what the door represents. We've got to figure out what the sheepfold represents. We've got to find out who the thief and the robbers are. We've got to find out what the voice of the shepherd means. And we got to find out what it means when he led them out of the sheepfold. Now, if you go back there and study your history about sheepfolds, they were usually made of a hedge. And they would keep the sheep in there at night to keep them from, away from the predators such as wolves and maybe thieves. And they'd drive them in there, and the shepherd would keep them inside of this sheepfold. Well, he mentions the sheepfold here. And I believe, ladies and gentlemen, that the sheepfold here is not the church. Sometimes, well, wouldn't the sheepfold be the church? Not hardly. Because if you notice, he led them out of the sheepfold. Jesus doesn't lead us out of the church, does he? I don't think so. So the sheepfold doesn't represent the church. The sheepfold represents those people who have a good attitude and are enclosed and separated from people on the outside who have bad attitudes. And believe me, that's what he's talking about. He's talking about people who have the good and honest heart. Do you remember over in Luke 8 when Jesus gave the parable of the sower? He said the seed of the kingdom is the word of God, Luke 8:11, and he said that seed falls into the honest and good heart. If a person is not honest, and he has to be honest in the eyes of God, he'll never become a Christian. These sheep in the sheepfold were honest Jews. They were honest people. I'm going to give you three qualifications or prerequisites to becoming a Christian. Number one is what we call IQ. That stands for intelligent quotient. You know, we measure IQ in people. Some people, they say, have much higher IQ than others. You have to be a responsible person in order to be in the sheepfold. Babies are not in there. People we call idiots and imbeciles, and I use that cautiously, but people who are not mentally competent or safe, they don't need the gospel. They're going to go to heaven because of their condition. They don't have to obey the gospel. Therefore, they're not in the sheepfold. Someone says, well, who are in the sheepfold? People who have IQ high enough to be responsible. Did you hear me? God does not hold people responsible if they cannot understand the gospel. Only people who can understand the gospel are the only ones that are responsible. Others are safe and going to go to heaven on the merits of their condition. You, believe me, that's the truth. That's the truth. So the first qualifications, the first that I have these people in chief is you've got to have enough intelligence to understand it. I had a lady to tell me down in Houston, Texas, several years ago, we were discussing the Bible, and she says, Ward, I just can't understand the Bible. I can't understand it. I just can't understand what to do to be saved. And she was shocked by my answer. I says, well, just forget it. She says, what do you mean? I says, you're fine. You're safe. She thought about that a minute, and she said, well, do you mean that I'm an idiot? I said, no, you made the statement. I didn't. You told me out of your own mouth that you just couldn't understand the Bible, and I said, if you're telling the truth, you're safe. And I'll stand by that. You're safe. You don't have to obey the gospel. But you better be careful when you make the statement. And she came back and she said, well, I didn't mean it in that sense. I said, I didn't think so, because she's an intelligent woman. She just meant she hadn't studied it enough, and she wasn't interested in finding out what it said. And that's a problem with a lot of people. You know, you can put yourself in a category if you want to, but I still stand by my guns that if you cannot understand the Bible, you just absolutely can't understand it, you're safe. I tell you, the people in this sheepfold are people with IQ high enough that they can understand the Bible. Number two, they're honest people. And I've already been over Luke 8. The word falls in the honest and good. Some people are just not honest. They've been brought up. They got so much prejudice and bias. They just cannot be objective when it comes to the truth. Then the third thing is that you've got to study the Word of God. Search the Scriptures, as we're taught in John 5 and in 1 Timothy. Study to show yourself approved unto God. And then upon studying it, if you're honest and you're amenable to the law of God and you have a high enough IQ, you're going to accept it. That's why Jesus said, "My sheep follow me." Did you notice they were sheep before they followed? Did you notice that? He didn't say you were sheep before, after you followed me. He says you were sheep before you actually followed me. Well, you're not saved till you follow Jesus. Therefore, he's not talking about saved people. He's talking about people with a good attitude. And if you don't get that, you miss the parable. You've missed what Jesus is talking about. You've got to have the IQ and the honesty and be willing to study in order to be in the sheepfold. There's your sheepfold. That's what it is here. He said, "They're my sheep." He said, "They're in there." Which he meant, there's some people out there honest enough, they're going to follow me. But there's some on the outside of the sheepfold, they're not going to follow me. They're not my sheep. My sheep are the ones who have a good attitude. That's what Jesus is talking about in all three of the parables. And I'll guarantee you that if you'll study it. Now, with that as a background, we can understand better the other things here. He says, "He that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way." Now, the next thing is, Jesus says, the true shepherd has to enter by the door. Well, what is the door? The door is the Old Testament scriptures. Jesus says, "I enter by the door, but the thieves and robbers..." Now, he's talking about false Christs. There were many people who claimed to be the Messiah who were not. Jesus said, "I am the true one. I am the Messiah." And those Jews had to separate in their minds between the sincere, the superficial, and the ones who were not sincere, and the ones who were not really the Messiah. And so he said, "I enter by the door." Now, these false Christs, what they do is they climb up over the fence or over the hedge, and they come in, and they're coming in to steal. They're not the right one. Someone says, "Well, he is just saying that I am the true Christ then." That's exactly right. He said, "I'm the true shepherd. I am the shepherd of the sheep. I am the Messiah." You see, the Jews were looking for the Messiah, but they didn't know how to find him. And Jesus is saying the way you find him is if he enters by the door, and the door is the scriptures, you measure him by the scriptures, not how tall he is or what he looks like, but by the word of God. Did you know in John 5, which we studied earlier, he said, "You Jews search the scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, but they are they which testify of me." What testifies of Jesus? The scriptures. What scriptures? The Old Testament scriptures. He said, "If you had believed Moses, you would have believed me, because Moses wrote of me." But he says, "You will not follow me, but you'll follow someone else." So I prove my point that the door is the scriptures, the word of God. He enters in by the door. Jesus didn't climb up some other way as a thief and a robber, but he entered through the door because he was the fulfillment of scripture. And those sheep inside were people with a good and honest heart who had studied the word of God and could identify him, and they identified him. Someone said, "But how did they do that?" Well, by the scriptures. But could you give me an example? Oh, I could give you a number of them. For example, Jesus had to be born in Bethlehem of Judea, just like the prophet said. And if a man was born somewhere besides Bethlehem of Judea, he was a thief and a robber. He didn't enter by the door. He had to be a virgin, according to Isaiah. That would eliminate all of those thieves and robbers. And so if those people inside, those sheep, would say, "Master, where were you born?" He'd say, "Bethlehem of Judea. Did you have an earthly father?" He'd say, "No, I was born of the virgin." And they'd say, "Fine, we identify you. You are the shepherd. You're the true shepherd. You're not climbing up some other way. You're the fulfillment of scripture. That's the door." You see the point? Very good parable. But it's dealing with attitude, mainly. They were sheep before they followed. Now notice now let's read it. "I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold," that is, if he doesn't have scripture backing him up, if he doesn't back it up with scripture, "thus saith the Lord," he says, he climbs up some other way, and the same as a thief and a robber. These false Christs. But he that entereth by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. That is, I will enter by the door. I come through the door. What is the door? The door is the fulfillment of Scripture. Who are the sheep? The sheep are the ones who have a good attitude. They've been waiting on me. And they're honest enough, they're going to accept me because they search the Scriptures and they know better than to follow a false doctrine or a false teacher. They know better. The sheep do. They know better. So they're not going to follow some false Christ. They know the true shepherd. Now again, he says to him the porter. Now who is the porter? Well, I just happen to believe the porter was John the Baptist because he introduced Jesus to the Jews. The clarion voice of John said, I am not he, but here's the Messiah. Behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world. The porter introduced him. John the Baptist introduced him. Then Jesus came through the door in that he was the fulfillment of Scripture. And the ones inside were the ones with an honest and good heart. And they said, we'll follow you. Not some other person, but we'll follow you, Lord. Because you fulfill Scripture. Isn't that simple? And that's the way it is. Just read the text. Someone said, well, these parables are complicated. They're not if you really study them. Now I want you to notice what he says. The porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name and leadeth him out. Oh, the Lord comes in. He knows the sheep by name. The shepherd, I've been told in Palestine, would name his sheep. He knew their names. And the Lord, the very hairs of your head are numbered. The Lord knows you if you're a sheep. He knows you if you have a good attitude. And once with that good attitude, when Jesus does enter, what do? You become a Christian. You follow him, but you were a sheep before you followed. You follow the point. See that? That's what he's talking about. You can't be saved if you don't have a good attitude. And I want to tell you, a lot of people in the world have a bad attitude, just like the Pharisees. Bad attitude. The Pharisees didn't follow Jesus. The Sadducees didn't follow him. Someone said, well, they weren't smart people. Oh, no, they were smart. They had enough intellect. They were dishonest. That's a problem. Dishonesty. Seeking ye shall find. Knocking it'll be opened unto you. Not many people really seek the truth. And that's what he's talking about. You've got to have that attitude or you're not going to make it to heaven. You've got to free yourself of prejudice and bias and dishonesty and say, Lord, all I want is the truth. I don't care who it hits, if it hits my mama and daddy, if it hits my brother, if it hits my sister, my husband and my wife. It doesn't make any difference, Lord, who it hits. As long as it's the truth, I'm going to accept it. Then you'll make it to heaven. You'll make it to heaven then. You're a sheep. You're in the sheepfold. Now notice what happened. After Jesus came in through the door, those people knew that he was the Messiah. So they followed him and they were saved. Because you can't be saved without Jesus. And so then Jesus came in and he says he called him by name and leadeth them out. Out of what? Out of the sheepfold. Where does he lead them? He leads them out to have pasture. What are the pastures? Well, the pastures would be the Word of God so that you'll grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ after you become a Christian. You need pasture. And you don't have that feed inside the sheepfold. You've got to go out and eat some green grass. And he says the shepherd leads the sheep out. They follow him. They don't follow the thief and robber. Because they climb up some other way. They don't enter by the door. And the door is the Bible. The Word of God. And you can't deceive those sheep. Oh, you can deceive them. They're too smart for that. And they're honest. And they study. Now, those sheep study the Word of God. They search the Scriptures. They knew that Jesus was the Messiah. See? And then what did Jesus do? Jesus said, they're my sheep. And he said, they'll follow me. And he says, I'm going to lead them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them. And the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Now, what is his voice? Well, his voice is the fact that everything he says is true and is a fulfillment of Old Testament scriptures. Do you know how many times Jesus said that the scriptures might be fulfilled? I think 15 or 20 times. He says, this happened that the scriptures might be fulfilled. What scriptures, Lord? The Old Testament scriptures. Why did he say it? Because he entered through the door and he believed in the scriptures. And you got to believe in the scriptures, the New Testament scriptures. See? He says, they hear my voice, and a stranger they will not follow. Who will not follow? These sheep. Well, now, wait a minute. Why won't the sheep follow a stranger? I've already told you. They're honest. They have sufficient intelligence. And they have studied the Word of God, and they know better. Because they do not fulfill the Scriptures. They know it's false doctrine. That's all he's talking about. That's why he says they won't follow a stranger. Who won't? These sheep. Who are these sheep? The sheep are people who are honest and who have that good attitude before they become a Christian. He says they won't hear the voice. They can differentiate between a false teacher and a true teacher. But how can they do that? Because it's not in the book. And they know enough Bible that they know better. They know better. When you sit down and listen to a preacher preach over television or radio, are you able to separate when he's telling the truth and when he's not telling the truth? Do you know your Bible well enough to do that? If not, my friends, you're not a sheep. You got to know when he's telling you the truth. And by the way, they all teach some truth. But that's not the point. You've got to know when he crosses that barrier and he isn't telling the whole truth. And if you know your Bible, you can know when he's preaching the truth and when he isn't preaching the truth, because you're a sheep. And that's what he's talking about. Because a sheep studies the Bible. He knows the Word of God. Jesus says, they know my voice. My sheep know my voice. What is his voice? It's the voice of truth. But he says, a stranger they will not follow, but they'll flee from him. They'll run from a stranger. But a lot of people are taken in by a false Christ and a false teacher. They don't run from him. Some of them run to him. That's why you have so many religious organizations in the world today and many different doctrines, is because people do not differentiate between truth and error. But if you know the truth, you'll flee from that false teacher rather than following him. A stranger they will not follow. So we found out what the sheepfold is. We found out what the door is. We found out who the shepherd is. We found out who the thieves and robbers are, false teachers. We found out who the sheep are. We found out what the voice of the shepherd is. We found out who the porter is. And we have found out who the stranger really is. He's also the false teacher. Now, let's make an application, and then let's close the lesson. We only got two, make an application. Here's what you have. Back in the days of Jesus, those Jews were looking for a Messiah, but many of them didn't know how to find him, the truth. Jesus said, I'm telling you how, right here in this parable. I'm telling you how to find the true Christ. There are a lot of false ones climbing up, call them thieves and robbers. He said, they come up some other way. But my sheep have studied enough, they're honest enough, they know better. But a lot of people on the outside did not know better. But the sheep knew better. Do you know better? Well, you don't have to be all that intelligent, but you have to get your head into the book, and you have to seek and find that truth. Now, today, the application is not finding the true Messiah. We know who that is. It's Jesus Christ. He's revealed in the Bible. We don't have the same problem with the Jews, but we do have a problem. It's a different kind of problem, but in many ways it's the same way. It's finding the true church. You see, this shepherd of the sheep, known as Jesus, established a church. He said, upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Matthew 16, 18 and 19. And therefore the Lord has a church, but people today have great difficulty in finding it. Some of them say they can't find it. I just can't find it. Yes, you can. You can. Just like you could find the true Messiah because he entered by the door. And when you find a church that's scriptural in name, in faith, in organization, in doctrine, in practice, and teaches the plan of salvation as it is in the Bible of God, you have found it. But it has to measure up to the Bible. And otherwise, it's someone who climbs up and enters some other way as a thief and a robber. Our problem is different. You've got to find a church that does what the Bible says. Someone says, but there's 1,200 different churches, preacher. I understand that. I understand that. No one knows that better than I. But at the same time, ladies and gentlemen, you've got to be like those sheep in the sheepfold. You've got to have intelligent quoting enough to understand. Number two, be honest. And number three, study. And you'll find it. Presto, presto, you found it. But if you're lethargic, if you're lazy, and if you want to trust in following your emotions, you'll never find the truth. You're not a sheep. I gave you this parable from Jesus because I wanted you to see what he's talking about, and I'll stand by my guns on this. I gave you book, chapter, and verse for it. And I showed you they were not sheep until they followed. They were sheep before they followed, and then they followed later and became what we call Christians. Well, if you're a sheep in this text, you'll become a Christian too because you're going to find the truth, and we hope you'll come to Jesus and be baptized for the remission of sins and arise to walk in newness of life and serve God. So if you're here and subject in any way, we hope you'll come to the Lord today. Shall we stand as we sing our invitation song?